And also, all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there rose another generation after them, that knew not the Lord, nor yet the work which he had wrought for Israel. And the children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, and served the Baalim, and they forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves down unto them, and they provoked the Lord to anger. Now, chapter 4. And the children of Israel again did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord when Ahud was dead. And the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. And 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh-Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded, saying, Go and draw unto Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitudes, but I will deliver him into thy hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding. The journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah arose and went with Barak, and Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali together to Kadesh, and there went up 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Verse 12. And they told Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up to Mount Tabor, and then Sisera comes with all of his army. Now, verse 14. And Deborah said unto Barak, Up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thy hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera, and all his chariots, and all his hosts, at the edge of the sword before Barak. And Sisera alighted from his chariot, and fled on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots, and so forth. 17. Howbeit, Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said unto him, Turn in, and you know the story. He comes in, he's thirsty, he asks for water. And then it says, verse 21, Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent pen, and took a hammer to her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the pen into his temples, and it pierced through into the ground. For he was in a deep sleep, so he swooned and died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him, and said unto him, Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And he came unto her, and behold, Sisera lay dead, and the tent pin was in his temple. Let us speak to God.
God again in prayer.
Our Father, we are thankful that whatever experience we have in our lives, if we search thy word carefully, there is something that the people of God have experienced in a similar manner in days gone by. And we are thankful that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We are so thankful, our Father, that though only certain parts are expressed before us, all Scripture is for our blessing, for our good, for drawing from it the lessons placed there by thy Spirit. And there are lessons we would learn from the portions we have read this night. Father, we know what it is to be in bondage to the enemy. But we have read of deliverance from the bondage of the enemy, and that is our desire today. So teach us, we pray, about bondage and about deliverance and about singing and about rejoicing, to know what it is to experience the exceeding great and precious promises of God, to know what it is to experience being more than conquerors through him that loved us. Thou knowest our sin. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as thou hast promised. Prepare hearts and empower lips, we pray, as we commit all into thy hands, Father, looking for a blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. You may look at the book of Judges in a way that will discourage you, or in a way that will encourage you. It depends entirely on how you look at it. What if I told you that the nation of Israel sinned and was in bondage 20 years, and the nation of Israel sinned and were in bondage multitudes of years? You say that's so discouraging. Or suppose I told you that while they were in bondage, they cried unto God in prayer, and God sent them a deliverer, and they had peace for 40 years. You say, that would be an encouragement. Well then, let us not look at the nation of Israel as they fail and are in bondage, but let us look at while in bondage, feeling heavy oppression upon them, they cry unto God, and God sends them a deliverer. That is the encouragement. Now, it gives us a little history and an explanation of how things during the passing of time transpired. This way, we had Moses, the servant of God, and after him we have Joshua, the son of Nun, and we have the elders that accompanied Joshua in the wilderness and then in the promised land, but all of them died. And it says that after they died, there arose another generation that had not seen or experienced the thing that Joshua and the elders of Israel experienced. I believe that that is what is happening in the assemblies of the Lord's people today. I'm thinking here. I remember there used to be a Brother Luther and Brother Tom Oxendine. There was Brother Vina. Now, Cleo is left, one of those older ones. But most of them are gone. But there were some of you who were younger men when these men who were here at the first lived. And you can remember the glorious experiences in the past, but then, as we get old and we die, what is to happen to the generation that hasn't seen the difference between the sects and schisms of men, as they used to call it, and those that gather solely to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? It was precious to these old men, too. The ones like Joshua and the elders that surrounded him. But afterwards, another generation comes along and they find themselves in the promised land and they had never experienced the bitterness of bondage in Egypt, what it was to be under the hand of Pharaoh. They had not been in the wilderness and seen the miraculous hand of God taking them through the wilderness, in grace working with them, in spite of the 10 times they had tempted God. But in spite of that, they are told of these things, and they listen to them, but inasmuch as they have not experienced them, they are not precious to them. So what we have to do is to pray to God, not for a resurrection of Joshua and the elders that surrounded him, not a resurrection of those that were here, the ones that I knew 20 or 30 years ago, that had gone on to be with the Lord. That is not our hope. The hope is this, that not that Joshua will return as Elijah is going to be raised up and return, but that men like Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Barak, Gideon, Abimelech, Tola, Jared, Jephthah, all of these judges will be raised up from time to time to be a blessing to the people of God. Now we can do this. We can look back as I have, I think, of the assembly in Raleigh, where I fellowship. And just as you have these old dear brethren that I mentioned here in Raleigh, we have Brother Luther Wilson and Brother Reginald Edwards and Brother Jimmy Chapel. We have all these old men, and they were such a blessing to me as a young man. But they died. And most of those that were in their presence, they are getting old, but when we go, what shall happen to those truths that were so precious in Raleigh and in Pembroke and all over the world? Because what happens is this. They have not experienced the preciousness of knowing what it is to be taught the way of God more perfectly, as Aquila and Priscilla taught Apollos. They do not know what it is to obey the instructions of the Lord, who said, go therefore and preach the gospel to every creature, but after men are baptized, you are to teach them to observe all things that I commanded you. There is God's way of salvation, and there is God's way of service, and there is God's way of worship. And in the days of Joshua, it was carried out, and the elders that were with Joshua, it was carried out. But when they died, it says another generation arose that did not have those experiences, and so they fell into worshiping other gods. And then later on in Israel, do you remember, they saw how glorious it was among the nations to have a king to go out before them. And so they said, we want a king like all the nations. And it broke Samuel's heart. And God said, Samuel, they haven't rejected you. They have rejected me. And so this is what happened. So the only thing that we can do is not to pray for the resurrection of those that we've known in the past, but we have to enjoy as much we can the blessings of God, surrounded by those people in whose generation we live. I'm thinking of this. I spoke some weeks back, I've been speaking on the judges of Israel, I spoke about Caleb, who was the uncle of the first judge of Israel, Othniel. I spoke of Caleb and of Joshua, and this is what was so sad. They fully followed the Lord. And yet, the 10 spies who brought up an evil report about the land, God's judgment fell upon Israel for the 10. And then it meant those who were men of faith who had fully followed the Lord, it meant that for 40 years, they had to wander in the wilderness with that disobedient nation that had rebelled against the promises of God. You say, how sad. Yes, but that's the way it is. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Here are men that could go in and take the land, fight the battles of God. But God said, you're not going in for 40 years. And so for 40 years, they had to be associated with all of these cowards in Israel until they died, and then God permitted them to go into the promised land. That is why I am saying that while I have had the joy of living with older men of greater stature spiritually, comprehension and appreciation of the things of God. I'm not going to sit down under a juniper tree and weep and say, there's no need to go on living because the ways of the past, they're not going to be brought back to us anymore. No. But you draw all the blessings of God you can out of history as it exists in our day. And that is what we must remember. It does not mean that we conform to the new ways, but it means that if there is a paucity of blessing and comprehension, and we are among spiritual dwarfs rather than giants, it means that we have to work with them, we have to fellowship with them, we have to live with them. Not condone sin, but for those that are weak in the faith, he that is weak in the faith, receive you, but not under doubtful disputation. And so here are Joshua and Caleb, confronted by a nation of cowards upon whom the judgment of God had fallen, and yet they were their companions in the wilderness. And in like manner, here is Joshua, and he had elders that were around him. And then the elders had such as these around them. And then the elders died, and you had not a vast group, but you had one here, one there, one over there. And so life continued, and they had to live as best they could as conditions prevailed in their day, praying for better conditions, seeking to bring about the will of God in their day. But unless it was brought about exactly as it was in the past, they enjoyed it as much as they could. Now, let me give you an example. We use the scripture in 1 Corinthians 14. What is it then, brethren? When you come together, each one hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a revelation, hath a tongue, hath an interpretation. How many of you come and bring a tongue and an interpretation nowadays? You say, no, of course you don't. But I came this morning, and I sang. Some of you have a song, and we had a doctrine. You say, yes, I see. And so you come and you take what God has left in your hands and you use it and you enjoy it. I would have enjoyed it so much when the Apostle Paul wrote, I'm worried about thy loved ones. What about those that have died before the Lord comes back to establish his kingdom? Paul says, this I say unto you by the word of the Lord. Think of that. In that day, they did not have the word of God as we did, and sorrow would fill our hearts, and a prophet of God would stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. And then Paul would say, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Think of hearing that the first time, and the dead in Christ shall be raised. So, even though we do not have those direct revelations today, we do not have the miraculous biblical speaking in tongues and interpretations today, as they would have us to believe, and the revelations that they have, we still have a part of what God has given to the church. And there are still prophets, not in the infallible sense, and teachers, not in the infallible sense, and evangelists, but not in the infallible sense, but enough to save sinners who are disposed to believe the gospel that they preach. And so you say, I see. Rather than weep, because of a lost past, we rejoice in the truth of God that is ours today. I'm thinking of this. There were some of those when the second temple was built, after the first one built by Solomon was destroyed, and those that had never seen the first temple, when they saw that second temple that was so insignificant in comparison to the first temple, they wept and wept. Why? Because they had seen that first temple. But the others who had never seen it, they rejoice. And so you say, I see. And so there were times like unto those in Solomon's temple. But Solomon's temple is destroyed and it's gone. But you'll find that Zerubbabel and also Joshua, the ones that then lived, they enjoyed God and they worshiped God as best they could with what they had. And that is what we are to do today. And you have need of a preacher. I'm not William Kelly, I'm not J.N. Darby, I'm not Walter Scott, but I am a preacher and I bring you the Word of God. And so while you say, I wish we had Darby and Kelly and Walter Scott, I do too. Nothing would make me happier than to sit there and let these giants stand and minister the word of God. But at least you have something. You have me, you understand? So take what I have to give you and rejoice. Because there was a time in Israel when the word of God was scarce, precious, no common word from God, and nobody knew. But if you come, I'm able to teach you the word of God, and so rejoice that not a Joshua, but one of the elders associated with him, like that, one is still around. That is what we can rejoice in. So, if we do not have direct revelation from God, if we do not have miraculous gifts from God, such as the apostles that could go and speak in the name of Jesus, rise, and they would rise up. I confess to you, I am unaware of any power that I have, but I can tell you the gospel and save your soul through the truth, and I can teach you the word of God. I can do that, and I can show you, and I can have you to go home and search the scriptures daily, as the Bereans did, to find out what the things are so. And in one sense, we are better off than those who heard Paul say, "Behold, this I say unto you by the word of the Lord," because they only knew in Thessalonica that. But now I know 1 Corinthians 15 as well about the coming of the Lord. All these revelations that some of them rejoice in heart to hear, I have all of the revelations recorded that God wants me to have, and I can read them and I can enjoy them. And that is what I'm doing today. Now, in like manner, we have something here that is most significant, something that is entirely out of place, and the fact that it is set forth as an exception to the rule. God never intended for women to rule over men. In fact, that's the way that God ridicules them. He says, "Women are your leaders." And at the same time, in the New Testament, it says, "I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion, authority over a man, but to learn in silence. This is the will of God." You say, "But here is a woman." Yes. It says that Deborah was a prophet in Israel. And she says, not only is she a prophetess, but she says, "I, a mother in Israel." And today, there are women who are still gifted in a similar way that Deborah was, not in the infallible way she was, but there are women who still have the gift of teaching and explaining the Word of God, and we shall not take it away from them. And if they follow their vocation, they will teach the Word of God to certain ones that God instructs them to, and in the place that God instructs them to. Notice, this is not a woman in the New Testament church. This is simply a woman who sat under a palm tree and people would come to her and ask her counsel of the Lord. Perfectly in order. And if there are any women in this assembly that know the word of God accurately, it's perfectly in order. If you men, and I say this to be ashamed, I think I would study day and night before I would have to go and ask a woman the answer to something in the Bible. But if I confess that she did know more than I did, and I had to have this answer, then I would go to her home as Apollos went to the home of Aquila and Priscilla, and I would say, "Teach me the word of God." And being covered in subjection at my request, it would be perfectly in order for that woman to teach. But if that woman were lifted up and said, "Now, next Lord's Day morning, I'm going to rise, and I'm going to give a discourse when the whole church has come together," she would be entirely out of order. But do not say that there are not gifted women teachers today. There are some women who know more than their husbands. So husbands, study the word of God. Seek to be in such a position, as the Bible says, if a woman would learn anything, let her ask her own husband at home. Many times the husbands are ignorant of the word of God, and at home they have to ask their wives. But let us seek to fulfill the roles that God has given us in the scripture. But let us not say, "You have no ability to teach, you're a woman." There are women who are gifted, such as in the case of Deborah. She had a gift from God, and Barak did not possess it, and he acknowledged it. And she knew that she had this particular gift from God, the gift of prophecy, but She did not have the ability to go and lead an army and take them into battle and fight against the enemy. And because of that, she got a message from the Lord that told her to send for Barak and have him to come and meet her, and she would give him the mind of God. Now that's the kind of woman I want. A woman who has the mind of God, but she understands that certain things that are to be done by men and not by women. And she's quite willing to take the subordinate place as the man is the head of the woman, as Christ is the head of the man. And she's willing to let this man come and she instruct him and then he carry out the will of God that comes through her lips. And that's what she wanted. And so she told Barak what to do. And then Barak, well, I can't help but laugh every time I read it. He said, if you will go with me, I'll go, but if you are not going with me, I'm not going to go. How simple, do you see? And I can understand why. Because I am a man who knows how to fight. I know how to give orders to an army. But at the same time, there are messages that I have to have from God. And I am not a man, a soldier, who is in communion with God the way that Deborah, the prophetess, is. And therefore, Deborah, you come along. And so she did. She said, I'll come along, but you must understand that if God sends you, and he doesn't tell me to go along, then God will give you the knowledge that you should have. If you obey him, he will teach you the things that you ought to know. But there are some men who have faith to believe the truth of God, but they have not faith to believe God's truth to such a degree that without this person or that person assisting them, they can accomplish the will of God for the children of Israel. And God makes that confession. He says, I will go with you, but I want you to understand that the glory could have gone to a man. But now, since you insist that I come along and you won't go unless I go, then the glory is going to a woman. How sad. And yet, this is the experience that Deborah and Barak had, and it could have been reversed. Had Barak had more faith, but I thank God for the faith that he did have. He had faith enough to know that this woman had the Word of God, and that what she had from God could be acted upon. But he did not have the faith to go into battle without this woman by his side. So let's give him the commendation that he deserves, and at least recognizing God's word, acting on it, while at the same time he needed this woman by his side. And when she told him to go and what to do, at a certain time she said, now is the time to go. And then Barak, with that assurance that God had called him, sent him to 10,000 of the tribes of Israel, and at this particular time he was to go, because the woman told him the mind of God and told him the time of God. And then he went forth into battle, and God discomfited the enemies that came against Israel. Sisera, the army, the one whose army had 900 chariots of iron, they go forth and fight against him. Now, this is what evidently happened. If we are out here on hard, solid ground, and you're in a chariot, and you're coming to fight against me, you can run over me and crush me and destroy me, and an army will scatter when they see 900 chariots of iron coming. But it speaks about the elements. What if this hard ground, suddenly there is a deluge, a downpour, and the ground becomes muddy and mushy, and these chariots of iron sink down into the mud? Then what good is a chariot of iron when the horses can't pull it? They're just standing there and nothing can be done. And that evidently, if you read chapter 5 as well as chapter 4, is what happened. And because of that, this chariot is no good. Therefore, Sisera goes by foot instead of in a chariot, because unless something had happened to his chariot, why would he leave it? Why, any chariot pulled by a horse could outrun a man, but he leaves the chariot because the chariot is of no use to him. And then, just as Deborah picked the cause of Barak's lack of faith, then instead of Barak, who is pursuing Sisera, instead of his overtaking Sisera and destroying him. Jael sees his coming and calls him into the tent, and you're familiar with the story, how she hid him under a rug, and after deceiving him with false, soothing words, while he's there thinking that danger has passed, she takes a hammer and a tent pen and drives it through his head. And then Barak comes with his army pursuing Sisera. And Jael says, come in. Here is the man that you're looking for. And that is the time of rejoicing. And it all happens according to the prophecy of Deborah. Now let me tell you about this and how it's not an isolated case. You'll find that there were many prophetesses in Israel. Miriam was the first prophetess. Deborah was the second prophetess. And I'll tell you of Huldah. Huldah was one who, when Hilkiah found the book of the law in the temple of God and brought it to Josiah, and Josiah read it, and he rent his clothes, and he wept, and he feared the wrath of God because of what was read in the scripture. He said, go and find what God's will is in this case. Now, I want you to look at this. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Because it says that Deborah sat under a palm tree, and the people would come to her, and she would prophesy unto them. She would judge them. She would make decisions for them. Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, I want to give you an example as to what would take place. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and look at verse 15. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. Hilkiah delivers this book to Shaphan, and Shaphan the scribe delivers it to the king. And when the king reads therein, look at verse 19, when the king heard the words of the law, that he read his clothes, and the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and so forth. He commands these men that they go and inquire. Verse 21, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. And so look at verse 22. So Hilkiah and they whom the king had commanded went to Huldah the prophet. Just as in the case of Israel and Deborah, they had problems. They would go to Deborah, and Deborah had the mind of God, and she would tell them the mind of God. Now, the king reads what the word of God says, but he wants to know more about it. He wants to explain what is to be done. And so these men go to Huldah the prophetess, and they ask her the question, verse 25. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you unto me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place. And she tells that all the judgments are going to fall upon the nation of Israel. But look at this. But say unto him, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, verse 27, because thy heart is tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest the words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and hast humbled thyself before me, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me. I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof. And it brought back word to the king. You see, it mentions about people coming to Deborah and inquiring, and she judged Israel and answered their questions. And this was the way that a person who had the miraculous gift of prophecy was able to answer. Just as if you came and asked me, what is the answer to this question? I would turn the Chronicles, the Kings, the Psalms, I would turn either some portion in the Old Testament or the New Testament, thus saith the Lord. And here's the answer to your question. But at that time, they did not have the Word as we did, and God would communicate directly with them. And that is why there were judges in Israel, and there were prophets and prophetesses in Israel. But remember, there were hundreds of prophets and sons of the prophets, but only these prophetesses, as I know them. There was Miriam, and there was Deborah, and there was Huldah. But now, there was another prophetess who was married to Isaiah, his wife of all things, the prophet Isaiah being married to a prophetess. But then there was the enemy of Nehemiah named Noadiah. She was a prophetess. So you have a false prophetess, an enemy of the truth of God in the Old Testament, and you have a false prophetess in the New Testament. Who is she? Jezebel. She calls herself a prophetess. Now, this is the difference. If you have a true prophetess, she will be like Deborah, who wants to take the back place and put a man in the forefront and let him be told what God's will is if he does not know it, and let the man execute the will of God before armies and before the nation of Israel. But it says that Jezebel was in this church at Thyatira, and she deceived the people, and she taught them to commit fornication and to eat meat sacrificed to idols. And God says he's going to throw them into a bed with her. He's going to kill them. He's going to destroy them. And so that's what happened today. There are plenty of women who want to be not a Deborah, but they want to be a Jezebel and set aside the man's position as head, and they want to be the head. And that was the sin of Satan. That was a place to which he could not attain. But he said, I will be like the Most High. And it's not for a woman to be like a man. And it's not for a man to be like a woman. But God, because of nature, has given us our place in nature, and we have to fulfill our role. And Deborah understood it. And he fulfilled through her the things that he willingly would have fulfilled through a man had there been men who were able to receive it. And in the New Testament, let me speak of a good prophetess, Anna. Hannah, the prophetess, Anna, you remember, who when the Lord Jesus came, she looked at him and she rejoiced, and she spoke to them round about concerning the Lord Jesus. And then Philip had four virgin daughters that prophesied. So beautiful. Here is a man who brought into the world four young ladies, young, lovely girls, and they all had the ability to prophesy. But this is what is so strange. I told you in the Old Testament that you had these men, and yet God would say, go to a woman. And yet, in the book of Acts, you have Philip and his four daughters that prophesy, and yet God sends Agabus, the male prophet, down to prophesy unto them. So, this is the way of God. When we are looking at those in the New Testament, let us see God's way. Let us see God's way in the Old Testament. And God may, if we fail, and we are failing, the women could stand up and pray. The women could stand up and teach at a remembrance meeting. And men, we had better pray and praise and worship God. Or God may raise up a Deborah and say to her, you had your chance, but you did not take it. And God would make an exception in this case. God forbid that it should ever happen. But if we fulfill our roles and know the scriptures, then it will not be essential for God to do that. And women can come to their husbands and ask them, and they are able to teach their wives, and they are able to know the answers. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a hope, a reason for the hope that is in you, and so forth. That is what is God is to fulfill in our lives. So these are a few lessons concerning the history of Israel and the judge Deborah in Israel. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for every woman that thou hast brought into our lives that are women of God, that know the scriptures, that are prepared to take their place as set forth in the scriptures, who may know more than we, but are willing to say, let me tell you this, and then you execute the command of God. We are thankful for all of those women who desire to be women and to be in the woman's place. And Father, let us not be like Barak. We are thankful that he would do something, but let us, our God, not only have that much faith, but have faith enough to know that what you've done to Deborah, you can do for us as well. Not only to fight battles, but also to know thy will. Did you not speak to Moses? Did you not speak to Joshua? Then you can speak to us. So help us to be men and women of God, enjoying to the full all that you've left for us to enjoy today. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.